Learning Sefer Tehillim, this is year number 58. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our hundreds of shiurim online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah be also a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinder Manila of blessed memory. The entire Sefer Tehillim with Ma'am Lois has been sponsored by the Chevra Kadisha Mortuary in Los Angeles. There's a total of 75 tapes or CDs if anybody would like to get it on tape or CD. It's also available online, all 75 shiurim of complete Tehillim with Ma'am Lois commentary. We are holding in chapter 105, Pasuk 22. La'asor sorof benafsho uskenof yechakim, to bind, imprison his princes at his pleasure, and make his elders wise. By having made Yosef lord of his house, Paro gave him the power to imprison his princesses at his pleasure. Assuredly then, he exercised the same power over the rest of the people. Paro also realized Yosef's wisdom, as he said, "There is no one so perceptive as wise as you are." Through his forthright judgments, Yosef would make his elders wise. The people and the judges would be instructed by Yosef's moral teachings, his rulings, and his wisdom. Paro empowered him to rule by two methods. He could use force when necessary, and therefore the Pasuk says to imprison his princesses at his pleasure, our Pasuk. He could also use means to wise process, make his elders wise. The Medrash says, to imprison his princesses at pleasure refers to Potiphar, who commanded that Yosef be imprisoned. A subtle interpretation says, to bind his princesses at his pleasure and willingly. The princesses of Mitzrayim would love Yosef for his wisdom. The singer depicts Yosef's sudden rise from the pit of anguish and debasement all the way to the peak of grandeur and power. Thus it says, the king sent and released him. The ruler of nations set him free. Then immediately afterwards he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, as we learned in the previous pasuk. He also vested him with the authority to imprison his princesses at his pleasure. Lest we imagine, however, that he was envied and exposed to malice, the Torah emphasizes, and make his elders wise. Everyone saw that he was making the elders of Paro wise, for they understood that the spirit of Hashem was in him. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 23. Vayavo Yisroel Mitzroim VeYakov Gor BeEretz Chav. Thus Israel came to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov sojourned in the land of Chav. It had been decreed that the children of Israel should be enslaved in Mitzrayim. In order for this decree to be fulfilled, Israel came to Mitzrayim. The name Israel conveys that Yaakov was greatly esteemed upon his arrival in Mitzrayim. Subsequently, he sojourned there as Yaakov. He, the children of Israel, suffered a reduction in stature upon being enslaved in the land of Ham. Notwithstanding that Ham was cursed for what he did to Noach and condemned to become a slave to his brothers, Yaakov's descendants became slaves to the descendants of Ham. At first, Yaakov himself had the statue of Israel. But by coming into Mitzrayim and agreeing to live there as a sojourner, he acquired the lesser stature of Yaakov. Pasuk Chof Dalit, Pasuk 24. Vayefres Amo Me'od V'yatzimehu Mitzorov, and he made his people exceedingly fruitful and made them mightier than their adversaries. Following Yaakov's descent into Mitzrayim, he made his people exceedingly fruitful. Hashem purified Yosef and sent Yaakov to Mitzrayim. There he caused the Jews to increase greatly and made them mightier than their adversaries, the Egyptians. Thus it says, Israel was fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and grew mighty. They were born six at a time, and despite the fact that twins or more are usually less tall than single births, here they were mightier than their adversaries. A subtle interpretation says the Pasuk refers to Paro. He made his people exceedingly fruitful. By his harsh decrees, he made it happen that the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Beginning with the next Pasuk, the Torah speaks of all the things that were done by Moshe and Aaron to prove to Paro the power of Hashem to change the patterns of nature. It thus mentions those plagues which involve some modification of nature. Pasuk Chav Hei, Pasuk 25. Hafach libam lisno amo lisnakel ba'avodav. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. At first, the Mitzrayim loved the children of Israel, but then he turned their heart to hate his people, because it had been decreed that the descendants of Avram be enslaved in Mitzrayim. He turned about their hearts from love to hatred of his people, to deal craftily with his servants. The Egyptians dealt with cunning and treachery against Israel. They cunningly placed taskmasters over them to collect taxes, and later to afflict them with their burdens of hard labor, as we find in Chumash Shemos. As a matter of natural process, there was no reason for the Mitzrayim to hate the Jews. Look at how much they benefited from them. For one, when Yaakov and his family came to Mitzrayim, the famine ceased. But Hashem turned their heart to hate his people, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, in fulfillment of the decree of the covenant of the pieces with Avram. It is possible to interpret Hafach as a self-reflexive verb, namely that the hearts of the Egyptians were turned to think evil thoughts about Israel, as it says in Chumash Shemos, "Come, let us deal wisely with them." It has been the way of the enemies of Klal Yisrael in all generations to enslave the Jewish people craftily through cunning and treachery. They would place Jewish policemen over the people in order to foment strife and quarrel among the Jews themselves. But the policemen appointed by the Egyptians were righteous men, and they were smitten by the Egyptians for not afflicting the Jews. Because the Jewish people had brought them many benefits at the outset, the Egyptians were afraid to afflict them openly. Instead, they proceeded by cunning and treachery. The Medrash says, "Yesterday the report was heard in Paro's house, and it pleased Paro well. But now he turned their heart to hate his people. Now there rose a new king over Mitzrayim." Pasuk Chav Vav. Pasuk 26. Sholach Moshe Avdo Aaron Ashebochar Bo. He sent Moshe his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. After the Jews had become enslaved to the Egyptians, he sent Moshe his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen earlier, for he would often send Aaron to keep the Jews from being drawn into the foul practices of the Egyptians. Thus it says in Sefer Yechezkel, "Then I said to them, cast away every man the abominations of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt." It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yechezkel, and this refers to Aaron. Hashem addressed the Jews to Aaron. Thus he said to Eli, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, "Did I not appear to the house of your father when they were in Mitzrayim at the house of Paro?" This is a pasuk that's found in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. After Moshe said, "O my Lord, send, I pray to you, by the hand of him by whom you will send," a prophet that's found in Chumash Shemos, Hashem said, "And Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet." And that is to say, I know that he is fit to be sent on a mission. But he has another mission. "Behold, he comes to meet you. And when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. Unlike you, he's not afraid of going on a mission. I would have chosen you alone for this mission, but now that you have spoken as you did, I will also send along Aaron." Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. Samu vam divrei ososov mofsim b'eretz Chav. They placed the words of his signs among them and wondrous proofs in the land of Chav. Moshe and Aaron performed the godly signs, as it says in Chumash Shemos, and Moshe and Aaron did all these wonders before Paro, and wonders proves in the land of Chum. At first they performed the wonders in order to convince the Jews that Hashem had sent them, and therefore it says among them, among the Israelites, thus the Torah says in Chumash Shemos, and did the signs in the sight of the people. Afterwards came the wonders in the land of Chum to convince Paro and the Egyptians, for Paro had said, "Who is Hashem that I should obey his voice?" Another interpretation says the signs were the plagues that affected the Egyptians' bodily: boils, swarms of wild beasts, the plague of the firstborn. Wonders in the land of Chum refers to plagues that affected the land, locusts and hail. The Medrash says in the name of Reb Yudin, the son of Shimon, they placed the words of his signs among them. the plagues were marked into their bodies. He sent darkness and made it dark. Compare it to a hangman who went to perform his task, but made the ordeal of his victims excessively harsh for them. Although he sent darkness and made it dark, they did not rebel against his word. Based on the present pasuk, some explain the statement in the Agadah of Pesach, Rabbi Yehuda would place signs for the plagues, the Tzach Adash B'achav. These signs were marked into their very bodies. Pasuk Chof Ches, Pasuk 28. Shalach Choshech V'yachshoch V'lo Moru Estavorov. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. The plague of darkness is mentioned, and it is mentioned first, for we find that when this plague struck, Paro said to Moshe and Aaron, go serve Hashem, only let your flocks and your herds stay behind. The repetitive, the word Shola Choshech V'yachshoch, can be read literally, he sent darkness and it made dark. The darkness itself continued to make it dark, more so than it was commanded to do. As our Chachamim, our sages, have expounded figuratively, compare it to an executioner whom the king commanded to smite the evildoer. The executioner proceeded to afflict him with greater severity than commanded by the king, and they did not rebel against his word, even though on the occasion of the plague of darkness, Paro warned Moshe never to see his face again. Moshe went on to warn him about the plague of the firstborn, and so did Aaron. According to our Chachamim, the sages, the plagues did not rebel against his word. They stayed within the bounds set for them and did not afflict the Jewish people. Nor did they strike other than within fixed times. Some explain the plural form of lo moru, they did not rebel, as referring to the other plagues. For our sages teach that every plague involves some of the darkness. The Targum interprets, before the darkness of the night ended, there came this darkness. The Medrash says, Hashem said to the angels that the Egyptians deserved to be afflicted by the plagues, and the angels agreed at once. Why did he bring darkness upon them? For two reasons. One, in the darkness were revealed to the Jews the treasure vaults of the Egyptians. Secondly, the wicked Jews perished during the darkness. This Medrash is explained subtly as follows. Torah law stipulates that when all the judges of the Sanhedrin unanimously concur to condemn someone to death, he is freed. The question may therefore be asked, since all the angels agreed, why were the Egyptians afflicted with the plague of darkness? The answer is, that law applies when all the judges condemn the accused for the same reason, not when two or more reasons are offered by different judges. Hence, the Medrash says here that there were two reasons for the plague of darkness. Pasuk Chav Tes, Pasuk 29. Hofach es mei mehem l'dam b'yomes es tegosa. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Having spoken of the plague of darkness and explained the reasons for it, the singer now speaks of the very first plague, the blood. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. He killed the fish, or else the Pasuk says, that the blood killed the fish. Not only the surface water was stricken, but also the depths. The proof lies in the fact that he slew their fish. If the deeper waters had not been turned to blood, the fish would have dived below and lived. He slew their fish to make it evident that this was a real plague. It was not an optical illusion. Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk 30. Shorats Artsam Sephardim Bechadri Malcheihem. Their land swarmed with frogs in the chambers of their kings. Having mentioned the plague of blood, the singer goes on to speak of the plague of frogs that followed it. Their land swarmed with frogs in the chambers of their kings. It does not say that their river swarmed, but their land swarmed, for the river is located in their land. The term shoratz is a masculine verb form. Hence, Eretz, land, is here a masculine form. Similarly, we find, and the land Eretz was not able to bear them, as found in Chumash Bereishis. Paro and his ministers sealed off all the houses and chambers in order to prevent the frogs from entering, thus to discredit the prophet's word. Hence the Torah emphasizes that, on the contrary, the frogs swarmed in the chambers of their kings. Said Rabbi Yochanan, wherever the waters gathered, the frogs gathered. Should you then say that the frogs failed to enter? houses of marble and blocks of stone. Said Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, this is one of the things where Hashem caused the soft to overcome the hard. The marble split on its own, and the frogs entered. Thus it says here, even though the royal chambers were made of marble, the frogs swarmed in the chambers of their kings. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pasuk 31, Omar Vayovoy Orom Kinim B'chol Gavulam, he spoke and there came swarms of beasts and lice in all their borders. Although the plague of lice preceded the plague of swarming beasts, the singer first mentioned swarms of beasts, for this plague resembled the plague of frogs. Like the frogs, the beast also appeared in all their borders, but lice came from the outside. Some interpret lice in all of their borders in accordance with what it says in Chumash Shemos, all the dust of the land became lice. Others read beast, lice, as referring to one thing, namely there came a mixture of different species of gnats and lice. Another interpretation is based on the teaching of our sages that with every new plague, there was also the previous plague. Successive plagues overlap. Hence it says here, there came swarms of beasts, and with it came the lice. This is mentioned here in passing. At the same time that the Torah mentions the beast, it also tells us that these swarms of beasts also included lice. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Pasuk 32, Nosan Gishmehem Borod Eish Lahavos Ba'artzam, he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. Having mentioned lice, the singer now speaks of hail. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. The rain turned into hail when the water froze and became hail. What is more, flaming fire was inside the hail. He gave them hail for rain, although it is natural for water to melt the ice of hail. Here the water produced the hail. Nor should this appear as wondrous, since even more wondrously, flaming fire in their land, there was fire inside the hail. Thus two miracles were associated with the hail. This may also indicate that the houses of the Egyptians were burnt by the fire inside the hail. The miracles connected with the hail were intended to demonstrate Hashem's power over the element of fire. We're holding Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'yach Gafnam Us Einosom Bayushaber Eitz Kavulam. He also smote their vines and their fig trees, and he broke the trees of their border. Regarding the stricken trees, the Torah first mentions the more important trees, and then trees generally. He also smote their vines and their fig trees, and he broke the trees of their border. Analogously, it says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe fruit, and the fig tree at her first season. This is a puzzle that's found in Sefer Hosea. Lest we think that the fire inside the hail was not strong, the Pasuk tells us that the fire containing hail was so powerful it smote their vines and their fig trees. These particular trees are mentioned individually, indicating their importance. For one can be sustained by their fruit and dispense with bread. He broke the trees of their border. This indicates that also the trees marking the borders of fields were destroyed. The plagues of animal disease and boils are not mentioned here explicitly, because in those cases Paro did not ask Moshe to terminate them. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Pasuk 34, Omar Vayovo Arbe V'yelek V'ein Mispor, he spoke and the locusts came and the grasshoppers without number. Regarding the plague of locusts, the Torah says Hashem decreed and the locusts came, and the grasshoppers without number. It could be that the grasshoppers here means the most devastating of all species of locusts. By means of this plague, Hashem demonstrated that He also rules over the creatures of the air. Pasuk Lamed Hei, Pasuk 35. Ve'yochal ko esav be'artzam ve'yochal pri admasam. And it ate up all the grass in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. The Torah recalls that the locusts devoured all the grass for feeding the cattle, as well as fruit eaten by man. It devoured the fruit from the trees that had survived the hail. It also ate up the fruit of the ground, which is larger than the fruit of the trees, such as pumpkins and melons. Pasuk 36. Vayach kol bechor ba'artzom reishes lechol onam. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the firstfruits of all their strength. The plague of the firstborn killed both the firstborn of the mother's womb and the firstfruit of the father's strength. The Chachamim infer from here that the compassionate one does not begin to punish by depriving the guilty of their lives. First, he smote their vines and their fig trees, as we learned earlier. Then he gave over their cattle to the hail, and then only he smote also all the firstborn of Egypt. All the firstborn, this indicates that even the firstborn from other lands who just happened to be in Mitzrayim died. Likewise, the firstborn Egyptians who were then in other lands also died. The first fruit of all their strength means the eldest member in any household. Pasuk 37, Vayotziem bechesef v'zohov v'ein b'shvatov koshel. And he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. The Jews came out of Mitzrayim with a great treasure of silver and gold that the Egyptians had lent him. It is usual for those who flee to stumble and fall, but here there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Although they came forth with much silver and gold, and it is natural for the affluent to be very envious of one another, here there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Pasuk Lamed Ches, Pasuk 38. Samach Mitzrayim b'tzeisam ki nafal pachtam aleihem. Mitzrayim was glad when they departed, for their fear had fallen upon them. The reason there was none among his tribes who stumbled was that Mitzrayim was glad when they departed, for their fear had fallen upon them. The Egyptians were afraid that so long as the Jews remained, they would be stricken again. The pasuk is clarified further in accordance with the following teaching of our sages. Hashem gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave them such things as they required, as found in Chumash Shemos. They gave them what the Jews did not even ask for. An Egyptian would say to a Jew, "You said, give me one thing? Here, take two." Because the Egyptians were so greatly afflicted, they were glad when they were departed, and gave them of their best possessions. Pasuk 39. Poras onon lemosoch ve'esh lohoir loilo. He spread a cloud for a screen and a fire to give light in the night. Here is depicted Hashem's supervision of Israel upon their exodus from Egypt. He spread a cloud for a screen and a fire to give light in the night. As it says in Pasuk in Chumash Shemos, and Hashem went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to show them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light. The Torah emphasizes this matter for contrast. Whereas Hashem sent darkness to the Egyptians, he sent a fire to give light in the night to the Jews. Pasuk Mem, Pasuk 40. Sho'al v'yovei slof v'lechem shemayim yasbi'im. They asked, and he brought quails and sated them with the bread of heaven. When the Jews were in the wilderness of Sin and they protested the lack of meat, Hashem sent them to quail. As it says, when Hashem will give you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning your fill of bread. The latter refers to the man. Another interpretation says the man was satisfying spiritual nourishment in preparation for the giving of the Torah, and the quail was a physical food. Yet Hashem did not fail to fulfill their demand for it. Thus the pasuk says, although he sated them with the bread of heaven, still because they asked for meat, he brought quails. Pasuk 41. Pasach tzur vayezuvu moyim holchu batzios nohar. He opened the rock, and the waters flowed. They ran a river in the dry places. Now the Torah describes the miracle that took place at the freedom, when there was no water for the people, and Hashem commanded Moshe, "You will smite the rock, and there will come out water." Thus it says here, he opened the rock, and waters flowed. They ran a river in the dry places. Pasuk 42. Ki zochar estevar kotcho es Avram avdo. For he remembered his holy word promised to Avram, his servant. Now it is explained why he took out the people from Mitzrayim with joy. For the pasuk says in Chumash Bereishis, For he remembered his holy word to Avram, his servant. Hashem promised Avram that afterwards they will come out with great wealth. At the covenant of the pieces, Hashem promised Avram that Israel will be worthy to accept the yoke of heaven following the refining process of exile. Hashem thus patterned the events in preparation for having them receive the Torah at Mount Sinai. Pasuk 43. And he brought forth his people with joy, his chosen ones with songs of praise. They departed from Mitzrayim with joy because they came forth with great wealth. His chosen ones with songs of praise. This refers to the song they chanted at the splitting of the sea. There were two classes of Jews. The common people rejoiced at the mere fact of their redemption, but his chosen ones rejoiced that as long last they were worthy of receiving the Torah. They showed their joy with songs of praise. Pasuk Mem Dalet, Pasuk 44, Vayitein lahem arzos goyim v'amal lu'umim yiroshu. Then he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the labor of the peoples. The lands of the nations refers to the lands of Sichon and Og, and to the land of the seven nations inside the Holy Land. The labor of the peoples refers to the olive orchards and vineyards that these peoples left over. Pasuk 45. Ba'avur yishmuru hukov v'sorosov yinsoru hallelujah. That they might keep his statutes and observe his teachings, hallelujah. All this had one purpose, that they might keep his statutes and observe his teachings. If they would not keep his statutes, they would be exiled from the land. Their hearts should not be occupied with the pursuit of money, but be dedicated to Torah study and observance of the mitzvahs. For this great kindness, hallelujah, praise Hashem. Material benefits are not needed for themselves, but as the means towards benefiting the soul. Thus the story goes that a man of piety observed another man plowing a field, and he asked him why he plows. I plow in order to reap, came the reply. So he asked him the reason for reaping. In order to become rich, said the man. But what are riches for? He persisted to gain honor. The other answered. The man of piety then said to him, it's about you that the Torah says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Hosea. His teachings, both his Torahs, the written Torah and the oral Torah. The Torah mentions the past because he remembered his holy word. It mentions the future so that they might keep his statutes. This will be the basis for their well-being. After he completed all the psalms, the singer says to the people of Israel, hallelujah, praise Hashem for all these things. Others say, praise Hashem for having given us the land, even though we did not keep his statutes. Now we go to chapter 106, Pasuk 1. Hallelujah, hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasto. Hallelujah, give thanks to Hashem, for He is good, for His loving kindness endures forever. In the present psalm, David depicts the many beneficent acts that Hashem performed for the Jews when He took them out of Mitzrayim, led them through the wilderness, and brought them into the land of Canaan. Yet they proved ungrateful by their evil doing, so He finally drove them into Golus. He begins with hallelujah, praise Hashem, and warns the Jewish people not to be ungrateful like their forefathers. Give thanks to Hashem for all the good that He bestowed upon you. The present psalm resembles the preceding psalm, except that there it did not relate what happened to Israel in the wilderness, nor what took place after they came into the land. The psalm begins with give thanks to Hashem for His good. He perpetually performs beneficent deeds, for His loving kindness endures forever. His kindness extends for generations on end. For His loving kindness endures forever. Let no man say that after Hashem created all existing things, they are no longer placed in His hand. Not so. For His loving kindness endures forever, just as the actual creation of the world came about as an act of loving kindness, so its continued existence is through loving kindness. If He were, heaven forbid, to remove His supervision, everything would turn to nothingness. give thanks to Hashem also for what appears to you as bad. Essentially, it is good, for His loving kindness endures forever. The good is not on account of man's merit, but because Hashem is the master of loving kindness. Plus, again says, for His loving kindness endures forever over the world as a whole, olam. Even when someone is not deserving, he benefits in the merit of the many. Accordingly, prayer together with the congregation is superior to individual prayer, for the prayer of the undeserving individual is then accepted together with a congregational prayer. What is more, the individual does not know how to plead before Hashem, for he does not know what is good for him and what is bad for him. Give thanks to Hashem, for He is good. Hashem is instinctively the source of the good. From the side of Hashem, His deeds are not loving kindness. They are solely good and upright. It is only from the side of the world, the recipient of His goodness, who is not prepared to receive His goodness, that the Torah says the good shows His loving kindness. The Medrash expounds this pasuk as pertaining to the hidden miracles brought by Hashem for the sake of man, but He alone knows about them. Please turn tape over to side B, and if you will. Pasuk base. Miyamala gavuras Hashem yashmiya kol tehillasom. Who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem, proclaim all His praise? The singer begins with a declaration. Who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem, proclaim all His praise? True, I have said to you, give thanks to Hashem, for He is good, for His loving kindness endures forever. But He is not like a king of flesh and blood, whose glory one can totally encompass. For who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem, proclaim all His praise? It is impossible to do so both from the side of the speaker and the side of the listener. Similarly, so far the Nabi said to you, can you find out the deep things of Hashem? Its measure is longer than the earth, broader than the sea. Who is capable of searching out one like Him? It is as high as heaven. What can you do? He says in effect, can you then relate who made the heavens and the stars? Even Moshe, our teacher, who went up to the lofty realms and received the Torah from hand to hand, did not penetrate this matter. To what can this be compared? Compare it to two people, one mighty and one frail. Can the frail one then relate the praise of the mighty one? Not so, for he does not know the other's superiority and power. Only the mighty one knows his own strength, and he can relate his praise. Say then, who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem? Even if we should know of His wondrous deeds, too limited is our tongue to be able to speak the praises of Hashem, blessed be He. Who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem in quality? Who can proclaim all His praise in quantity? A subtle interpretation says, one who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem, who constantly speaks of the mighty acts of Hashem revealed in the world, will proclaim all His praise. And that man thus shows that he himself is praiseworthy. Similarly, our sages expound the pasuk, the refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, and a man is tried according to his praise, a pasuk that is found in Mishlei. Just as the furnace refines the silver and gold, and thus we know how good it is, how well it works, through His praise of others we know the quality of Him who offers the praise. Our Chachamim have adduced from here that it is forbidden to add to the praises of Hashem as set forth by the men of the great assembly. Thus Rabbi Elazar said, who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem? To whom is it proper to utter the mighty acts of Hashem? For him who can proclaim all His praise. As there is no one who can relate all of His praise, it is not proper to say anything except that which the sages have set forth. There is the story of Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan who went to make peace in the towns of the south. They entered one place in the fountain, the cantor saying, Hashem was great, mighty, awesome, and valiant. They silenced them. You are not permitted to add to the formula of blessings coined
by the Chachamim. Pasuk 3. Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat Osei Tzedaka B'chol Eis. Happy are they who keep justice and practice righteousness at all times. Having said that it is proper for man to praise God and to relate some of his mighty acts, as far as this is possible, the Sefer says here that not everyone is so qualified. One must possess the qualities of excellence listed below. Happy are they who keep justice and practice righteousness at all times. Happy are those who keep the judgment and rule of Hashem, and thus practice righteousness and charitableness all the time. The person who so conducts himself, who practices charitableness, emulates his Maker, who practices charitableness at all times. To emulate the Creator is the ultimate praise of Him. He has no need of human praise, and man cannot add to the glory of the Exalted One. The main thing a person must learn is to emulate His praises in his own life. Having asked, "Who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem, proclaim all His praise?" the singer answers, "Happy are they who keep justice and practice righteousness at all times. They are happy to keep the justice of Hashem and to emulate His attributes, for that is the entire meaning of praising Hashem." Some explain, happy are the Jewish people when they cleave to judgment and practice righteousness at all times. For many were God's beneficent deeds on behalf of Israel when they acted in accordance with His will. Happy are they who wait for an occasion to practice judgment and charity, and thus earn the privilege to keep justice and practice righteousness at all times. Happy are they who, even in Golus, in exile, do not lose hope that Hashem will inflict judgment upon the nations, for they know that Hashem keeps judgment, justice, and practices righteousness at all times. At all times, both in times of trouble and in times of well-being, the Chachamim have expounded, practices righteousness at all times pertains to one who writes books and lends them out. It also pertains to one who raises orphaned boys and girls in his home. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Zochreni Hashem Birtzon Amecha Pakdeni Bishu Asecha. Remember me, O Hashem, when you favor your people, O think of me at your deliverance. After having turned to the Jewish people with a plea to recognize the good things granted them by Hashem, the singer says concerning himself, remember me, O Hashem, when you favor your people. May I be worthy of Hashem's beneficence. When you favor your people, when the time comes that He favors His people, I will not be ungrateful. I will praise Him together with Israel. The inheritance of Hashem, I will recount all the good things that Hashem did for me. By means of the Holy Spirit, the singer looks towards the future. When the Jewish people will be exiled from their land because of their sins, remember me, O Hashem, when you favor your people, or think of me at your deliverance. He asks that Hashem resurrect him from the grave together with the other dead, and he should live at the time of the redemption. Or else he is speaking in the name of the Golus, each of them pleads that he should merit to see the redemption. Pasuk 5. Liros betovas b'chirecho lismoach b'simchas goyecho lishalel im nachosecha. That I may behold the well-being of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your people, that I may glory with your inheritance. Having said, give thanks to Hashem, for He is good, namely that Israel should acknowledge the loving kindness of Hashem. David says, remember me, O Hashem, when you favor your people, think of me at your deliverance. As we learned earlier, when it is your will to bestow goodness upon your people, remember me and think of me, that I may behold the well-being of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your people, that I may glory with your inheritance. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Chatanu im avoseinu ha'avinu hishanu. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity and dealt wickedly. Having said that it was a duty to acknowledge the goodness granted by Shem, the singer now describes how Israel and he among them sinned in this respect. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity and dealt wickedly. We committed the same sin committed by our fathers, and after we sinned once, we committed iniquity a second time and dealt wickedly a third time. Pasuk Zion, chapter 106, Pasuk 7. Avaseinu b'mitzrayim lo yiskilu niflosecha lo zochu esbov kachsodecha v'yamru al yom b'yatsuf. Our fathers in Egypt paid no heed to your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your acts of loving kindness, but were rebellious at the sea, even at the sea of Suf. Our fathers in Egypt paid no heed to your wonders. They did not contemplate them. For had they given them adequate thought, they would not have become rebellious. Because they did not remember the multitude of your acts of loving kindness, they were rebellious at the sea, even at the sea of Suf. Thus the Jews said at the sea, were there not graves in the Mitzrayim that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? A pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. According to our sages, the rebellion consisted in their having said, even as we go up on this side, the Egyptians are going up on the other side. Because they did not remember your wonders that you performed for them, they did not remember you. They had little faith, and so they finally were rebellious at the Sea of Suf. Similarly, the Medrash says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Eli, not only did they bring over with them the idol Micha, but they hurled harsh words on high. As it says in Shmuel, base that you redeemed to yourself from Egypt the nations and their gods. Accordingly, the singer says here, in a twofold expression, were rebellious at the sea, even at the sea of Suf. They rebelled once by refusing to go down into the sea, and they also rebelled in the slime, declaring in Mitzrayim we were in slime and mortar, and here we are in slime. When the waters heard it, they wanted to drown them. But Hashem rebuked them, and as it says, and he rebuked the sea of Suf. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8, Yoshiem leman shemo lehodia esgvuraso. But he saved them for the sake of his name, to make known his might. Notwithstanding that they were rebellious at the sea of Suf, he saved them for the sake of his name. He did not save them for our sake, but for the sake of his name, to make known his might, by splitting the sea, and by all the miracles that took place there. Pasuk 9, Vayigar v'yamsu v'yecharov v'yolichem v'thomos p'kabidbor. He rebuked the sea of Suf, and it was dried up, and he led them through the depths as though a wilderness. The singer describes the splitting of the Red Sea. He rebuked the sea of Suf, and it was so startled by him that it was dried up. Similarly, the prophet had said, he rebukes the sea, and makes it dry. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Nochum. Or else rebuke here means to make the wind blow upon the sea. As the Torah says, and Hashem caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night and made the sea dry land. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Shemos. He led them through the depths as through a wilderness, for the depths congealed below, as it says, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The Jews then marched over them as if they were marching through a wilderness. Chachamim have expounded a number of inferences regarding how the Jews crossed the Red Sea of Suf. Pasuk 10. Vayoshiem b'yad sone v'yig'olem b'yad oyev. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. He saved them from the hand of Paro who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. As it says, thus Hashem saved Israel on that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Some explain that enemy refers to the sea. The sea is man's enemy, drowning ships by its many waves. This also refers to the Egyptian supernal angel that hated Israel. To begin with, Hashem cast down their supernal prince and then redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. He saved them from Paro and his army. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Ve'echasu mayim sureyem echon mehem lo nosor. The waters covered their adversaries. There was not one of them left. Not only did he deliver Israel, but the waters covered their adversaries. There was not one of them left. As the Pasuk says in the Chumash Shemos, there remained not so much as one of them. Some say not one of them was left in the sea. All the bodies were cast up by the sea, and every Jew could see the Egyptian who had subjugated him. He thus had his revenge. There is a dispute among the Chachamim, the sages, concerning this matter. The Yehuda says that not even Paro survived. The Chemi says that Paro alone survived. For it says, "For this cause have I raised you up to show you my power." Pasuk is found in Chumash Shmos. Others say that Paro also drowned in the end, as it says, "And he overthrew Paro and his army in the Sea of Suf." Some say that he was saved and later reigned in Nineveh. Pasuk 12, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayaminu Bidvorov Yusshiruv Tiloso. Then they believed his words, they sang his praise. Following the miracle of their deliverance, they believed his words of prophecy, as it says in Chumash Shemos, and they believed in Hashem and in his servant Moshe. They sang his praise by chanting the song of the sea, as it says, "Then sang Moshe and the children of Israel this song to Hashem." The Pasuk speaks in the present tense, for we recite this song every day. The Jews believed his words that the plagues he brought upon the Egyptians were not in revenge for their denial of him, they were for the glory of Israel. They sang his praise, Hashem inspired them by the Holy Spirit, they should be capable of singing his praise. The Mechilta expounds, the Pasuk says, the Chumash Shemos, they believed in Hashem and in his servant Moshe. If they believed in Moshe, then surely they believed in Hashem. However, the Pasuk comes to teach us that when one believes in Moshe, the faithful shepherd of the Jewish people, it is as if he believes in the word of him who said, and the world came into being. Pasuk 13, Miharu shakhu ma'asav lohiku la'tsoso. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. The Torah describes what happened to the Jews after 3 days' journey from Mount Sinai when they arrived in Maratah. The people murmured against Moshe, saying, "What shall we drink?" They forgot that all the wonders that Hashem had performed for them. Had they remembered, they would have understood that he did not bring them across the Sea of Suf to die of thirst. They should have waited until Hashem counseled Moshe to sweeten the waters. Some explain that this pasuk pertains to the sin of making the golden calf, their first sin following their departure from Egypt. When Moshe was late returning, they did not wait for his counsel. They did not inquire of Hashem how to act. Instead, they immediately went to Aaron and said, "Get up, make us a god that will go before us." Thus it says, they soon forgot his great works. They did not wait for his counsel. They did not wait for Hashem to advise them. Unlike when he advised Moshe to sweeten the water miraculously by means of the wood. Another interpretation says they did not wait for his counsel. Hashem wanted that they should become spiritual beings, worthy of receiving the abundance of his prophecy, and for this reason made them eat mun, but they asked for flesh of lust, as we're going to learn right now. Pasuk 14. By Yisavu Tavu Bamidbo Vinasu Keel Bishimon. They by lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tried Hashem in the desert. The Torah recalls the sin of the Jews at Kiryas Hatava, where they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tried Hashem in the desert. It tested Hashem by demanding to know whether he could supply them with meat in the desert. Thus it says, "Can he also give bread," which refers to meat. In the wilderness, one will look for the necessities, not for luxuries, but they sought luxuries. Travelers in the desert are humbled by the constant dangers they confront, but the Jews did not humble their hearts. Pasuk 15. Vayitain lahem shalosam vayishalach rozon benafsham. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Within that lust was concealed another lust. They wanted to test Hashem to see whether he could create something out of nothing. For the quail that came with the east wind set doubt in their heart that Hashem has not done all this, as found in the Chumash Devarim. Thus the Torah said, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tried Hashem in the desert. They especially tried him there, and they was therefore punished accordingly, as will be explained. Then Hashem brought quail from the sea. He gave them their request. However, this quail sent leanness into their soul. It emasculated them, as it says, the wrath of Hashem was inflamed against the people. They were not sated by the meat, hence leanness, as it says, and while the meat was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of Hashem was inflamed against the people. Hashem fulfilled their request, but instead of satisfying their lust, the meat made them lean and brought a curse. When they asked for meat, they also cried out for forbidden sexual lesions. The meat was granted them, but the lesions were not permitted. On the contrary, he sent leanness into their soul. He did not grant that which was in their soul and will. Pasuk Tezayin, Pasuk 16. Vayikanu leMoshe b'machane l'Aaron kedosh Hashem. They were jealous of Moshe in the camp and of Aaron, the Holy One of Hashem. Now the singer recalls the rebellion of Korach and his band, as found in the Chumash Bamidbar. They were zealous of Moshe in the camp, as they said, "Will you also make yourself a prince over us?" They were also jealous of Aaron, the Holy One of Hashem, as they said, "Why then do you raise yourselves up above the congregation of Hashem?" The plural form ascribes this complaint to the Jews, for many were involved in this quarrel, among them 250 men from the descendants of Reuben. Alternatively, all the Jews are blamed because they did not protest against the rebels. The Torah reveals the reason for their jealousy. Dothan and Aviram and the 250 heads of the courts opposed the 70 elders whom Moshe had chosen at Hashem's command, for they considered themselves more qualified for this task, being princes of the assembly, summoned to occasions, men of renown. This is conveyed by they were jealous of Moshe in the camp, on account of what they saw happening in the camp of the Jews, as it says in the portion of Baloshko. And Moshe retired into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. As far Korach, he contested for the high priesthood of Aaron, as it says here, and of Aaron, the Holy One of Hashem. Some explain that their jealousy was based on the fact that Moshe could prophesy also when he was in the camp, for his senses were not affected while prophesizing. A subtle interpretation says they were jealous of Moshe in the camp. Envy among scholars increases wisdom, but they were jealous of Moshe himself rather than then of his knowledge. Likewise, they were jealous of Aaron, the Holy One of Hashem. They were not jealous of his holiness. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk 17. Tiftach Eretz Vativlo Dosen Lekhas Al Adas Avira. The earth opened and swallowed up Dosen and covered the company of Avira. Their punishment was that the earth opened and swallowed up Dosen and covered the company of Avira. Because they did not open their mouths to protest against the band of Korach, Hashem created a mouth in the earth that swallowed Dothan and Aviram. The Torah does not mention Korach as having been swallowed, for he was among those incinerated, burnt, thus it says, and swallowed them up, and Korach, when that company died. That is to say, Korach was not one of those who were swallowed, but among those who died, in his case, by burning. Some say that Korach is not mentioned because it is already known that he was the leader of the rebellion. His helpers are mentioned, for without those who assisted him, he would have been unable to carry out his design. Dothan and Aviram were swallowed up, as the pasuk says, the earth opened and swallowed up Dothan, who was alone and covered the company of Aviram, who was not alone but had a family. The Torah stresses that the earth closed upon them. Pasuk is found in Chumash Bamidbar. The Ramban explains that even though there are many kinds of earthquakes, when the ground opens up, it does not close up again. Not so in the case of the band of Korach. The earth closed upon them. Others explain that Korach is not mentioned out of consideration for the sons of Korach who repented. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Vativar Eish Badasim Lohava Talahit Rishoim, and the fire was kindled in their company, the flame burnt the wicked. Now the Torah mentions the punishment of the 250. A fire was kindled in their company, as it says, and there came out a fire from Hashem and consumed the 250 men who offered the incense, as found in Chumash Bamidbar. It was a fire whose flame burnt the wicked. The 250 who offered incense were burned. Because they sought the honor of being among those who offer incense, they were condemned by that very hour, by that very honor. The honor itself cast them out and removed them. Our sages say that the Jews in the wilderness considered appointing Dathan and Aviram in place of Moshe and Aaron, Dathan in place of Moshe and Aviram in place of Aaron. Thus they said, "Let us appoint a chief and let us return to Mitzrayim." But all they achieved for themselves was that the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Aviram. Pasuk Yotes, Pasuk 19. Yasu Egel Bechorev Ishtachavu Lamazecho. They made a calf in Choreb and worshipped a molten image. The singer emphasizes that at the same place where they received the Torah, they sinned. In Choreb Sinai, where they heard, "I am Hashem your God, you shall have no other gods before me," they made a calf and worshipped a molten image. As the Pasuk says, the Chumash Shemos, they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. And worshipped a molten image, as it says there, and made it a molten calf. They melted gold in the fire, and using a form, made the idol as one piece, rather than part by part. They committed the sin at the same site where they received the Ten Commandments. Notwithstanding that it says there, "You shall not make for yourself any carved idol or any likeness," Pasuk has found the Chumash Shemos, they made the molten idol. Here it says, Horeb, rather than Mount Sinai. In other words, it says, Yasu Egel Bechorev. For when they received the Torah, it was called Mount Sinai. But when they made the calf, they caused the destruction of the Churban of the world. The Torah depicts three iniquities committed by the Jews: the sin of the golden calf, the sin of the spies, and the worship of Baor. Hashem forgave them all these iniquities, and the Torah says, "Look at all that He has done for Israel, and look at what they did to Him. He saved them from punishment time and time again, but they were zealous of him in the camp." There is thus no reason to be astonished at the deed of the golden calf, which they perpetuated at the site where they merited the revelation of the divine spirit. Some explain they worshipped a molten image, as it says, and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf, as found in Chumash Shemos. That is to say, Aaron first used the form in order to delay its completion, but the Jews did not wait for it to come out of the form, for the gold to melt and the calf to emerge. They bowed down to it while it was still in the form. Thus it says here, they worshipped a molten image. Based on the sequence of the present Pesukim, that view is favored, which says that Korach's rebellion took place prior to the episode of the spies and after the episode of Kiryas HaTavim. Thus the matter of the calf appears alongside the matter of the spies following the episode of Korach. For in these latter cases, their sin was much greater. Pasuk 20, Vayomiru es kavodam v'savni shor ochel esef. They exchanged their glory for the likeness of an ox that eats grass. Unlike other nations, which are ruled by supernal agency, the Jewish people is ruled by Hashem directly. But they exchanged their glory of being with Hashem for the likeness of an ox that eats grass. According to our sages, this comparison is invoked because there is nothing as abhorrent as the sight of an ox eating grass. The creatures are not particularly strong animals, unlike the mighty meat eaters. The singer expresses astonishment that the Israelites who ate man exchanged their glory for the likeness of an ox that eats grass. If someone is obliged to suffer hardship because he hopes to achieve something good, he expects the good will certainly materialize. What is more, the good should be so abundant
that it will compensate for the indignity of the hardship. That is what the Navi says, asks, has a people changed their gods, even though they are not gods, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. That is to say, if a people is found to have exchanged its god for another god, neither of the gods will complain, for both are nonsense. But my people exchanged their glory, the trust and security in the living God, in whom one can rightfully glorify oneself to no avail. Here too the singer says similar, they exchanged their glory for the likeness of an ox that eats grass. This also alludes to the principle of man's freedom to choose. Men are free to abandon eternal life and busy themselves with the life of the moment. The Khuzari explains the Jews sought a leader who would also act as their intercessor in place of Moshe. Accordingly, the pasuk specifically says that here they chose an ox that eats grass to replace Moshe. They exchanged a man for another creature of lesser stature, since cattle are man's food. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Shachachu Kel Moshiyam Oseth Gedolus Bemitzrayim. They forgot Hashem, their deliverer, who had done great things in Mitzrayim. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Nifloos Be'eretz Chum Noroos Hayamsu. Wondrous works in the land of Chum, awesome things by the sea of Suf. Hashem did four things for Israel, and that was the reason enough why they should not have forgotten him. For one, he was their deliverer who redeemed them from the evil of bondage. Secondly, he performed great things to great plagues in Mitzrayim. Thirdly, he did wondrous works in the land of Chum, where the Jews were saved from the plagues that afflicted the Egyptians. Fourthly, they were the awesome things which he had done by the Sea of Suf. They forgot Hashem, their deliverer, when they declared about the golden calf, "These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim." A pasuk that is found in Chumash Shemos. We will continue, Mitzvah Shem, in our next shir.